Ayogo Dushprapa Fitime Matihi Vashat Mana Tu Yatata Shakyo Vaptum Upayataha. For one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work. But he whose mind is controlled and who strives by appropriate means is assured of success. That is my opinion. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead declares that one who does not accept the proper treatment to detach the mind from material engagement can hardly achieve success in self-realization. Trying to practice yoga while engaging the mind in material enjoyment is like trying to ignite a fire while pouring water on it. Yoga practice without mental control is a waste of time. Such a show of yoga may be materially lucrative, but it is useless as far as spiritual realization is concerned. Therefore, one must control the mind by engaging it constantly in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Unless one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, he cannot steadily control the mind. A Krishna conscious person easily achieves the result of yoga practice without separate endeavor. But a yoga practitioner cannot achieve success without becoming Krishna conscious. So, yoga yoga practice is all meant to focus on controlling the mind. Even the Ashtanga yoga system, in the beginning, yam niyam, following rules and regulations, then asan, sitting postures, pranayam. Everyone sits up. Breathing exercises, dhyan, meditation, dharana, taking the mind, shutting out the sense, the objects of the senses, controlling the mind, and ultimately samadhi, fixed trance. So the mind is the central factor in all the yoga practices. And if one's mind is not controlled, unbridled, the word is used here, asamyata. So samyata means controlling the mind, and asamyata, unbridled. That word unbridled, it's related to a horse. We know horses need to be bridled. If you try to ride a horse that's not bridled, then it's difficult to control the horse. So the unbridled mind, it's not, there's no control, out of control. There's the analogy also given in the Bhagavad Gita of the the person who's riding on a chariot, and there's a driver of the chariot, and then there's reins, and then there's five horses. The five horses represent the five senses: the ear, the sense of touch, sense of seeing, taste, the tongue, five senses, and the reins represents the mind. And the driver represents the intelligence, and the passenger represents the soul. So, if the reins are not being firmly held by the intelligence, in other words, the mind is not being directed by intelligence, the reins are thrown up, then it means the horses, the senses, will run wild. Because there's no one holding the reins, so the horses, they run. One runs this way. The tongue wants to go here, and the eyes want to go here, and the nose wants to go here. They're running wild. So the mind needs to be controlled by the higher self. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that you should control the lower self, namely the senses, by the higher self, the mind, intelligence, soul, super soul. And this takes practice, how to bring the mind under control, and we need superior guidance. The ultimate guide or the ultimate director is the super soul, Krishna. And the soul is meant to take advice, direction from the super soul. And then when the soul is getting good advice, then the intelligence becomes clear and the mind responds by giving good directions. For one whose mind is uncontrolled, it is the worst enemy. In other words, it's very difficult when we're not practiced, when the mind is not trained. Because it means that we may be going along thinking that we're progressing nicely, and suddenly the mind comes up with some idea and is very convincing. And we follow that, and that may cause our ruination, at least for some time. At least our advancement will be hindered severely. But as one trains the mind, then the mind becomes our friend. The mind likes to think of Krishna. What are the activities of the mind? Thinking, feeling, and willing. So as one learns to control the mind, then it becomes a friend. The mind begins to like to be attracted to activities in relationship with Krishna. There's a verse, Jayato Vishaya Pungsam, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. By contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment. So this is what happens. When the senses contemplate, when we contemplate, we fix our mind on something and we use our senses, then we actually develop attachment for that. It's amazing how it works. But we see it does work not only in the human species, but it works in all species. Even animals, if they're born in a particular place, because they live there and they're contemplating it, so they become attached. We also become attached to our homeland. Yasyatma Bhuti Kuna Petri Dhatuke Swadhi Kalatradishu Boma Ijadi. Boma Ijadi means he worships the land of his birth. Who worships? Well, the person who's in material consciousness. And what is he compared to? Saiva Gokara. He's compared to the cow or the ass. In other words, his status is lowered down to animal consciousness. Because that's what animals do. Animals are just, whatever situation they're in, they become attached to that situation. And they think that's the all in all, just like the frog in the well. He lives in a 3-foot well, and he thinks this is his world, this is his universe. He can't imagine anything beyond the well. And similarly, we become attached to our little world. And when someone comes and says, would you like to go to the spiritual world where life is eternal, blissful, knowledgeable, we say, no, I'm happy here. Everything's all right. I've got my car, and I've got my apartment, my flat, and my girlfriend, and my job, everything's fine. What about birth, death, old age, and disease? What about those problems? He doesn't worry about them. He's not a very deep thinker. Animals are also not very deep thinkers. Animals don't think about when they get old, what are they going to do, and what happens when they die. Animals don't think. So, this tendency to become attached. So, if we fix our mind on just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, that means that we're not controlling our minds. What's happening? The senses are taking control. Because the senses, the tongue wants to eat, and mating, the genital, belly, there's a connection there. They want attention. They want gratification. And sleeping, when the mind, things get a little difficult, go to sleep, or take some intoxication, somehow or other. So that means that the mind has passed on power of attorney to the senses, and the senses have turned over power of attorney to the sense objects. So it means we're basically under the control of the three modes of material nature, because this matter, the material energy, is working under the three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And there's no... how will we ever get out of the ocean of material existence as long as we're simply being carried? Michi mayara bose jaccho bese kaccho habo dububai. We're just being tossed and thrown by the waves of material energy, and we're helpless. We have no hope of getting out. So, but yoga gives one a chance, because it trains him. Now you have to control the mind. The mind has to come under control. Well, how do I control the mind? Some of them try to empty all thoughts, stop thinking, become desireless. Now how is that possible? Try to empty out all the thoughts, stop desiring. That's also a desire. I desire to stop desiring. So it's not possible. The nature of the soul, the living entity, is that he's full of desires. He has all kinds of desires because he's a person, he's an individual. So it's not possible to stop desiring, but they try unsuccessfully. Look at Vishvamitra Muni. He tried to basically stop desiring for 60,000 years. He was in meditation, trance. Everything was going great until a really nice sense object came by. And when he heard those ankle bells, that was all he needed. Because you can't stop desires. You may be able to sublimate them for some time, but ultimately they'll come back with renewed strength and drag you into fulfilling their interests. So what to do? The best process is to engage the mind. Savai mana Krishna padara vindayor. That means that one should engage the mind in thinking at the lotus feet of Krishna. Savai mana Krishna padara vindayor. The lotus feet of Krishna. That's where our mind should be. Lotus feet of Krishna means mind should be thinking of Krishna, his name, his form, his pastimes, his paraphernalia. This should be our contemplation. How to serve him, how to please him. This is the mind's engagement. So by engaging the mind in this way, always busy. Prabhupada always taught us, don't be dull-brained, he would say. Always be thinking how to increase your service, how to spread this movement, how to make advancement, how to understand the philosophy, how to control the senses. Vairagya Vijjanija Bhakti Yogam. Renunciation. We have to use our mind to restrain the senses. Sometimes they want to engage in things which are not beneficial. So then the mind, as the reins, it's like when the horses start to wander off, the reins pulls them back. No, this way. So the mind can pull the senses back and engage them in Krishna's service. And of course, of all the activities for the mind, the topmost is to chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mantra, Mahamantra, the great deliverance of the mind. Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, the cleansing of the mind. Cheta means mind or heart. Same. By that cleansing process is the chanting, the Sankirtan movement. It's like we were chanting. So this is cleansing the heart, cleansing the mind, purifying the mind. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes different austerities of the mind, peacefulness. They're described there. Oh, here. Austerity. Here. Mana prasada samyatvam monam atma vinigraha bhavasam shudhir ityeta tapo manasam uchite. Satisfaction. In other words, one of the austerities of the mind is to be satisfied in any circumstance. How often are we satisfied or we're not satisfied? We go someplace and say, why didn't they, make better arrangements? Why this food is coming so late, and why is it so cold here, and this and that. We're never satisfied. The mind is always complaining. So that's not an austerity. The austerity is, oh, never mind. I'll be satisfied, whatever. That's described here. Mana prasada, satisfaction of the mind. Simplicity. Sometimes we're, so complicated. We make things so difficult. It's like we hear that just by chanting Hare Krishna, you can achieve the love of God, the highest perfection, go back to Godhead. It's beyond all the yoga practices, all the philosophy, everything is there in chanting. You say, no, it's not possible. It has to be more complicated than that. I have to go through a very rigorous ordeal of speculation, and it'll take me thousands of years, but it doesn't matter, because at least it'll be complicated and sophisticated. And sometimes we become so complicated and so make things so difficult. Actually, self-realization is not difficult at all. It's very easy. Just chant Hare Krishna, take Krishna prasadam, dance, and that's it. That's Lord Chaitanya's program. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. You've heard the formula. But we don't believe it. Think, oh yes, that's what they tell us in the beginning. But actually, of course, there must be a lot more to it than that. We must have to speculate and become a big, scholar and twist our brains. And no, actually, it's not necessary. In fact, it's not even helpful to twist our brains. Just to chant, dance, and feast, and be simple, and do some happy service for Krishna. But we have a difficulty being simple. Here the word is somyatvam, being without duplicity toward others. Straightforward. Not trying to take advantage of anyone else. We have nothing to gain from them. I remember this was a very attractive feature for me in the beginning. The devotee said, we have nothing to gain from you. We don't want anything that you've got. And they actually meant that. Why didn't they want anything that I had? Because they were already happy. They had everything they needed. They had Krishna. So that's very nice. If you actually are satisfied, then if you yourself are satisfied, your mind is peaceful because you're thinking of Krishna, then you can be without duplicity towards others because you have nothing to get from them. You're not looking at each person as, how can I enjoy this person? How can I exploit this person somehow or other? Either if they're the opposite sex, there's an obvious way, or maybe I can, if he's, I can try to be lorded over him. I can get him, I can impress him, and then he'll appreciate me, he'll glorify me, then that'll be good for my ego. And we're always trying to get something from someone else. So that's duplicity. So somyatvam means being without duplicity. Then monam, gravity. Not silence, but gravity. Gravity is different than silence. The impersonalists, they like silence because they have nothing to say. And they don't they don't know what how to chant. They can't appreciate Krishna's name. They don't know the beauty of Krishna's name or glorification of Krishna, because they think everything is one, and if it's all one, then why do you need words? It's all one. But the devotees, they have so much to say in glorification. Uttama Shloka, Krishna's another name is Uttama Shloka, one who's glorified in choice poetry. So they're always poetically glorifying Krishna. But they're grave. Grave means they don't speak nonsense. They don't speak unnecessarily. Just like Prabhupada had a secretary was traveling with him. And he noticed that he was a little sick and his stool had
I think it was a different color. It was yellow or something. Or some color it wasn't supposed to be. And he wanted to discuss, he wanted to tell Srila Prabhupada about it. So he told Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, "Yes, I know sometimes my stool is also that color, but I don't discuss it." So, that's gravity. And these things are going on. There's so many things going on with the body, with the mind. But if we have to discuss everything that's going on with our body and our mind, then we won't have time for discussing Krishna. Or what's going on in the world. The newspapers, if you read the newspaper every day, you won't have time for anything else. They're so big. So much news. You have to watch the news, keep up with the news. Gramya Katha. And then there's the local news, and then there's this, the national news, and international news. And now they even have stations, right? CNN, it's news 24 hours a day. So we spend our whole life just finding out what's going on, and then we die. Before we know it, we're finished. We forgot Krishna. So, gravity means austerity of the mind. He doesn't speak nonsense. He doesn't speak unnecessarily. He doesn't even engage his mind unnecessarily. That's another meaning of gravity. He's grave. He thinks about important things, not unimportant things. Why should he waste his time? Then, Maunam Atma Vinigraha, self-control. And then purification of one's existence. These are the austerities. Tapo Manasam Uchite. And Srila Prabhupada says, to make the mind austere is to detach it from sense gratification. It should be so trained that it can be always thinking of doing good for others. The best training for the mind is gravity and thought. One should not deviate from Krishna consciousness and must always avoid sense gratification. Avoid sense gratification. To purify one's nature is to become Krishna conscious. Satisfaction of the mind can be obtained only by taking the mind away from thoughts of sense enjoyment. Just the opposite of what we were taught in our upbringing. We were taught that happiness comes from sense gratification. Always thinking of sense gratification. Hankering for it. If you don't have it, then you just meditate on it all the time. And you work for it. You think about it. You have pictures of it all over your room. And then they think that that'll bring them happiness. But we notice that they're miserable. They're not happy. So here's the opposite suggestion is, happiness comes when you detach the mind from sense gratification. We don't try to think about how to enjoy in this material world. Rather, we try to think about how to give up this attempt for enjoyment. It's amazing. What an amazing secret Bhagavad Gita is giving. And it's not understandable to those who are not taking up the process of bhakti. It's just totally incomprehensible to them how you can be happy by giving up the things that seem like they're going to bring the happiness. Well, of course, the impersonalists also say, and the Buddhists also say, you have to give up sense gratification, but they say that's it. Just give up everything and merge into the one. You become everything. Or you merge into the void, or there is no reality. It's all just illusion. But in Krishna consciousness, not just give up the sense gratification, but something better. Param drishtva nivartate. Take up the real sense gratification, the real enjoyment for the mind. Sometimes the mind of a pure devotee is compared to a chataka bird. Chataka bird, he's always praying for the thunderbolt. He's always praying for the clouds because the clouds bring down water, and he only drinks water from the clouds. He won't drink it once it hits the ground. So the devotees, their mind is always praying for Krishna. They want that Krishna satisfaction. Thinking of Krishna, working for Krishna. This is the real pleasure, the real satisfaction of the mind. And then one doesn't feel that he's given up anything or lost anything. Matching it. One devotee, Nimunacharya, he said, Yadavadi mama cheta Krishna padaravinde navanava rasa dhamanit yatarantamasi tadavati batanari sangame smarimani bhavati mukavikara sushtuni stivinamcha. Since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in him, whenever I think of sense gratification, specifically sex life, I spit at the thought and my lips curl with distaste. And that wasn't artificial. He wasn't a frustrated, person who was, just trying to hold back all of his desires. No, he actually was feeling pleasure in serving Krishna, and he actually had lost his attraction to the material pleasures. The same things that he was enjoying before, he's gotten a higher taste. We can consider that in our present situation, our mind is in a diseased state. So it's not behaving properly. It likes things that are not good for it. And when one becomes free from the disease in a healthy state, then the mind will naturally be attracted by the proper things. It's like chanting Hare Krishna. One may say, well, I don't enjoy it. So that's like a person who has jaundice. A person with jaundice, the doctor recommends eating sugar candy and sugar cane juice, mango, sweet things. That's the cure. But when he eats them, because of the disease that he's got, it tastes bitter. But if he goes on eating them, then his disease will go away, he'll be cured, and then the sweet things taste sweet again. So Krishna is actually sweet. Self-realization is sweet. Tapo dibhyam, divine austerity is sweet. Purity of the heart is sweet. All these things, but we don't taste them as sweet because we're in a diseased state. But if we go on chanting, if we go on doing these things in devotional service, then gradually that disease will go away and we'll taste. It's like how many devotees now that get up early every morning miss getting up late? How many devotees would like to get up late? No. After you've gotten the taste of getting up early, the enjoyment of being up and chanting during Brahma Muhurta period, seeing the Lord, being awake for self-realization, you wouldn't want to go back to the mode of ignorance again. No, we don't want to go back because we actually have a higher taste. That taste can be maintained by staying in association of devotees. And, of course, without the association of devotees, we're all subject to become again influenced by the modes of material nature. So association of devotees is very, very vital. It's very important for controlling the mind. And that's the point of the verse that we are reading today, is that if we can control the mind, then self-realization will be easy. And to control the mind means to stay in the association of devotees. Just like now, we're all thinking of Krishna. It's very easy because we're all associating together, chanting. That's the value of associating with sadhunam. Sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi. All perfection. And the appropriate means here, that appropriate means devotional service. As Krishna consciousness, as Srila Prabhupada has outlined it for us, it's a simple process. And even if there are some difficulties, even if we may have a little, maybe some setbacks. I was in Ireland recently. I saw a devotee I hadn't seen for many, many years. And, you know, he was struggling. And he admitted, yeah, I've, you know, had some difficulties struggling. But it was nice to see that he was still coming, still trying. Krishna appreciates that. Krishna wants to see that no matter how many difficulties, we are faithful. We want to come to Him. We want to please Him ultimately. We want to give up this insanity of trying to enjoy separately from Him. So even if there's some obstacles, some difficulties, keep chanting. There was another one in Ireland, another devotee. Similar situation. I asked him how he's doing. He said, well, I'm struggling to try to become a human being. It was, you know, a nice, humble remark, but it was probably true to some extent also. And so, you know, when we said farewell, I said, well, you know, keep chanting. He goes, yeah, hey, yeah, that's, yeah, chanting. Notes, he may have forgotten a little bit about the importance of chanting. Just keep chanting. If we keep chanting through all the ups and the downs and the turmoils and the storms, then we'll come out of the storm by the chanting, right? Because it's Krishna. And it's the method for this age. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam. Kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva. There's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way. So that means, you know what that means? There's no other way. You can try psychic sleep and this type of counseling and New Age this, and you can try so many things. But Lord Chaitanya said there's no other way but chanting Hare Krishna. It's the best technique. And it's always effective. And you can do it anywhere, and it's free. So thank you very much, both for coming on the Harinam and also joining us here. If there's any questions, we'll take a few questions.
I think it was sort of karmic reaction, like in my heart. It was so painful, one night, whole night, and a half day also, one and a half. And at that moment, I used to have also headaches before I... That's why I came actually to Krishna consciousness, that I have headaches. And I never took pills, because I saw... Already I wanted to look at the source from this headache. And that Krishna later transformed those headaches to my heart. It's very strange actually. But when I got some transcendental pleasure with chanting also, everything moved more to the heart.
So have things improved since you've chanted, or yes, gotten worse?
Things improved, yes.
Improved. That's good.
The thing I only wanted to say, like, I had it was so hellish situation that I felt like in hell, like this is said, like in hell you can't do Krishna consciousness. And on this 1.5 day it was so painful that I couldn't chant. And I just had to face this comic reaction, like it was so, I just had to moan, you know, and I just couldn't, it was so hurting.
It takes practice. You have to practice chanting when it feels good and when it doesn't feel good also. Sometimes it's difficult to chant, but we have to practice. And then, as King Kulashekar says, Krishna Twadiya Parapangaja Panjarantam Adyaiva Vishutume Manasarajahamsa Prana Prayana Samaye Kapapatavitai Kandavaro Dhanavido Smaranam Kutaste. It's difficult at the time of death to think of Krishna. The mind is going haywire. The throat is all choked up. But if we practice now, while we're in a healthy condition, practice chanting, then it will be possible at the time of death to remember Krishna and chant, and then we can go back to Godhead. So it takes some serious endeavor. Anyway, thank you. Any other questions? Yeah?
You mentioned in the beginning that chanting and feasting and there were three points, right?
Dancing.
Chanting, dancing, and feasting. This is the way to attain the perfection.
Mm-hmm.
But we see in practice, I'm experiencing it, that there's also more things, regulative principles, this and that, and so many rules, and you have to read 2 hours a day, and this you have to learn, and that. So, is it still applicable, or is it also something which is more than just that?
The real thing is the chanting, dancing, and feasting. That's the real thing. That's really what the Sankirtan movement is made of. The other things are also pleasurable. You kind of presented them as maybe a little bit of a drudgery. You have to read 2 hours a day. Once you get a taste, you won't say it quite like that. You'll say, oh, I get to read 2 hours a day. So wonderful. So, it means you still have to go on chanting, dancing, and feasting for a little while longer. And then you'll be able to appreciate all the other nice things that go along with it. They're just supporting the chanting, dancing, and feasting. These other things.
So it's these three points are the key.
Oh yes.
All sadhana bhakti.
Oh yes, definitely. Once Srila Prabhupada was this was in Berkeley. It was the day after a Ratha Yatra festival. And we were expecting Srila Prabhupada to come later on in the afternoon. So we had worked hard for preparing, and the place was, somewhat messy. But we figured we'll clean everything up after the morning program, and then when Srila Prabhupada comes, you'll see it very nice. Well, anyway, he surprised us, and he came right during the morning program, unannounced. And he, he walked in to the temple room, and there we were. We had just finished Mangalarti, and we were saying the prayers in English. At that time, we used to say the translation. Spiritual masters receiving benediction from the ocean of mercy, just as a cloud pours water over the forest fire to extinguish, so the spiritual masters, etc. So we were going through, and we were so shocked that Prabhupada was standing there. Somebody finally remembered to take his picture off the Vyasasana so he could sit down. And then he sat down, and he said, so continue with what you were doing. And we couldn't remember which one we were on. Somebody started the fifth one. After a few minutes, we finally realized that we were on the fourth verse. So we said, the spiritual master is always offering four kinds of foodstuffs, analyzes those which are chewed, licked, drank, and swallowed. Four kinds of prasadam are offered to Krishna, and when the spiritual master sees the devotees are eating Bhagavad prasadam, he is satisfied. Prabhupada smiled and looked at everyone and said, yes, that is the best part. Krishna prasadam. He said, isn't it? And he looked, Karandar, isn't it? Karandar said, yes. Pradumna, isn't it the best part? He said, yes. He said, yes, it is the best part. So Prabhupada confirmed prasadam is the best part. And so chanting is the best part. dancing, feasting. The other things are subsidiary to those things. The more you can chant, dance, and feast, the better. You like to chant, dance, and feast? So, do that as much as you possibly can. You can chant and dance all through the hallways and feast. Simple. Simplicity. It's one of the austerities of the mind. Let's not make it more difficult than it is. Let's just take it, take the easy way. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. We're thinking, oh, it must be more complicated. There must be more to it than that. There must be some hidden. There must be something hidden that they're not telling me yet. Actually, no. That was what Lord Chaitanya did. That was his program. Any other questions?
Guru Maharaj, it seems that I'm doing Bhakti Yoga for 8 months now. It seems that the more I chant in one day, then the next day the setback is bigger and bigger. The more I chant, let's say I'm chanting 20 rounds on one day, and then the next day it's all gone, and it becomes very difficult the next day. And if I chant, let's say 10 rounds, which is my minimum, then the setback is not so big. I don't have to climb that high a mountain.
Can you reflect on that? Yeah, because the mind is still playing games with you. The mind's still got a strong hold. So when you do 12 in the lotus feet of Krishna, that's where our mind should be. Lotus feet of Krishna means mind should be thinking of Krishna, his name, his form, his pastimes, his paraphernalia. This should be our contemplation. How to serve him, how to please him. This is the mind's engagement. So by engaging the mind in this way, always busy. Prabhupada always taught us, don't be dull-brained, he would say. Always be thinking how to increase your service, how to spread this movement, how to make advancement, how to understand the philosophy, how to control the senses. Vairagya vijja nija bhakti yoga. Renunciation. We have to use our mind to restrain the senses. Sometimes they want to engage in things which are not beneficial. So then the mind, as the reins, it's like when the horses start to wander off, the reins pulls them back. No, this way. So the mind can pull the senses back and engage them in Krishna's service. And of course, of all the activities for the mind, the topmost is to chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mantra, Maha Mantra, the great deliverance of the mind. Cheto Darpana Marjanam, the cleansing of the mind. Cheta means mind or heart. Same. By that cleansing process is the chanting, the Sankirtan movement. It's like we were chanting. So this is cleansing the heart, cleansing the mind, purifying the mind. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes different austerities of the mind, peacefulness. Mana prasada samyatvam maunam atma vinigraha bhavasam shudhir ityeta tapo manasam uchite. Satisfaction. In other words, one of the austerities of the mind is to be satisfied in any circumstance. How often are we satisfied or are we not satisfied? We go someplace and say, why didn't they, make better arrangements? you know, why this food is coming so late, and why is it so cold here, and this and that. We're never satisfied. The mind is always complaining. So that's not an austerity. The austerity is, oh, never mind. I'll be satisfied, whatever. That's described here. Mana prasada, satisfaction of the mind. Simplicity. Sometimes we're, you know, so complicated. We make things so difficult. It's like we hear that just by chanting Hare Krishna, you can achieve the, you know, love of God, the highest perfection, go back to Godhead. It's, you know, beyond all the yoga practices, all the philosophy, everything is there in chanting. We say, no, it's not possible. It has to be more complicated than that. You know, I have to go through a very rigorous ordeal of speculation, and it must, you know, it'll take me thousands of years, but it doesn't matter, because at least it'll be complicated and sophisticated. And sometimes we become so complicated and so make things so difficult. Actually, self-realization is not difficult at all. It's very easy. Just chant Hare Krishna, take Krishna prasadam, dance, and that's it. That's Lord Chaitanya's program. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. You've heard the formula. But we don't believe it. Think, oh yes, that's what they tell us in the beginning. But actually, of course, there must be a lot more to it than that. We must have to speculate and become a big, you know, scholar and twist our brains. And no, actually, it's not necessary. In fact, it's not even helpful to twist our brains. Just to chant, dance, and feast, and be simple, and do some happy service for Krishna. But we have a difficulty being simple. Here the word is somyatvam, being without duplicity toward others. Straightforward, not trying to take advantage of anyone else. We have nothing to gain from them. I remember this was a very attractive feature for me in the beginning. The devotee said, you know, we have nothing to gain from you. We don't want anything that you've got. And they actually meant that. Why didn't they want anything that I had? Because they were already happy. They had everything they needed. They had Krishna. So that's very nice. If you actually are satisfied, then if you yourself are satisfied, your mind is peaceful because you're thinking of Krishna, then you can be without duplicity towards others because you have nothing to get from them. You're not looking at each person as, oh, how can I enjoy this person? How can I exploit this person somehow or other? Either if they're the opposite sex, there's an obvious way, or maybe I can, if he's, I can try to be lorded over him. I can get him, I can impress him, and then he'll appreciate me, he'll glorify me, then that'll be good for my ego. And we're always trying to get something from someone else. So that's duplicity. So samyatvam means being without duplicity. Then monam, gravity. Not silence, but gravity. Gravity is different than silence. The impersonalists, they like silence because they have nothing to say. And they don't, you know, they don't know what, how to chant. They can't appreciate Krishna's name. They don't know the beauty of Krishna's name or glorification of Krishna, because they think everything is one, and if it's all one, then why do you need words? You know, it's all one. But the devotees, they have so much to say in glorification. Uttama Shloka, Krishna's another name is Uttama Shloka, one who's glorified and choice poetry. So they're always poetically glorifying Krishna. But they're grave. Grave means they don't speak nonsense. They don't speak unnecessarily. It's like Prabhupada had a secretary was traveling with him. And he noticed that he was a little sick and his stool had, I think it was a different color. It was yellow or something. Or some color it wasn't supposed to be. And he wanted to discuss, he wanted to tell Srila Prabhupada about it. So he told Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, "Yes, I know sometimes my stool is also that color, but I don't discuss it." So, that's gravity. And these things are going on. There's so many things going on with the body, with the mind. But if we have to discuss everything that's going on with our body and our mind, then we won't have time for discussing Krishna. Or what's going on in the world. The newspapers, if you read the newspaper every day, you won't have time for anything else. They're so big. So much news. You have to watch the news, keep up with the news. Gramya Katha. And then there's the local news, and then there's this, the national news, and international news. And now they even have stations, right? CNN, it's news 24 hours a day. So we spend our whole life just finding out what's going on, and then we die. Before we know it, we're finished. We forgot Krishna. So, gravity means austerity of the mind. He doesn't speak nonsense. He doesn't speak unnecessarily. He doesn't even engage his mind unnecessarily. That's another meaning of gravity. He's grave. He thinks about important things, not unimportant things. Why should he waste his time? Then, Maunam Atma Vinigraha, self-control. And then purification of one's existence. These are the austerities, tapo manasam uchite. And Srila Prabhupada says, to make the mind austere is to detach it from sense gratification. It should be so trained that it can be always thinking of doing good for others. The best training for the mind is gravity and thought. One should not deviate from Krishna consciousness and must always avoid sense gratification. Avoid sense gratification. To purify one's nature is to become Krishna conscious. Satisfaction of the mind can be obtained only by taking the mind away from thoughts of sense enjoyment. Just the opposite of what we were taught in our upbringing. We were taught that happiness comes from sense gratification. Always thinking of sense gratification. Hankering for it. If you don't have it, then you just meditate on it all the time. And you work for it. And you think about it, you have pictures of it all over your room. And then they think that that'll bring them happiness. But we notice that they're miserable, they're not happy. So here's the opposite suggestion is, happiness comes when you detach the mind from sense gratification. We don't try to think about how to enjoy in this material world. Rather, we try to think about how to give up this attempt for enjoyment. It's amazing. What an amazing secret Bhagavad Gita is giving. And it's not understandable to those who are not taking up the process of bhakti. It's just totally incomprehensible to them. How you can be happy by giving up the things that seem like they're going to bring the happiness. Well, of course, the impersonalists also say, and the Buddhists also say, you have to give up sense gratification, but they say that's it. Just give up everything and merge into the one. You become everything. Or you merge into the void, or there is no reality. It's all just illusion. But in Krishna consciousness, not just give up the sense gratification, but something better. Param drishtva nivartate. Take up the real sense gratification, the real enjoyment for the mind. Sometimes the mind of a pure devotee is compared to a chataka bird. Chataka bird, he's always praying for the thunderbolt. He's always praying for the clouds because the clouds bring down water, and he only drinks water from the clouds. He won't drink it once it hits the ground. So the devotees, their mind is always praying for Krishna. They want that Krishna satisfaction. Thinking of Krishna, working for Krishna, this is the real pleasure, the real satisfaction of the mind. And then one doesn't feel that he's given up anything or lost anything.